can be home sweet home, knowing that Christ is with us and that we are with Him, as we talked about this morning. By God's grace towards us, we can abide in His grace, His favor. I want to talk to you tonight about the subject being a member of the body, the disciples' place. Where do we belong? You know, we might begin this evening by looking at 2 John, verse 9. If you don't have this verse committed to memory, I encourage you to do so. And if you don't, then please turn in your Bibles with me to 2 John, verse 9. It says, whosoever, that includes me, includes you, includes every single one of us, includes everybody we know, whosoever transgresses, that means goes beyond, and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. Anywhere we go can be home because God is with us. If we are abiding in the doctrine of Christ. That means we know the doctrine of Christ and we're practicing the doctrine of Christ. We're not transgressing the doctrine of Christ. You might like it unto a circle of doctrine God teaches us to do. And He says, if you step outside that, you go without Christ. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If there comes any unto you and brings not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, nor bid him Godspeed. For he that bids him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Dale and a couple of us were talking before service. It's amazing how Nancy and I were talking before services how that, you know, people can tell you what to do. They come to an authority. Dale was talking about a lot of times people come into the pharmacy and they'll ask him about a particular prescription or drug and so forth, and what's it for and what's the benefits of it for and so forth. And he'll tell them, and then they'll say, well, that's not what my friend told me. And they have a doctorate in pharmacology. You're talking about my mother-in-law and how that doctors tell her what to do. Debbie would tell her what to do with different times that she's been sick and so forth. She said, well, I don't want to do that. Well, be sick then. A lot of times she'll ask me a question, a Bible question. And we'll go to the Bible and say, well, this is what the Bible says about that. Well, that's not what so-and-so on TV says. Or that's not what Aunt Margie says. Or, well, but this is what the Bible says. And that seems to just go right over their head. Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. You have to have help to misunderstand that, don't you? That's one of the things that I like about John's writings, whether it be the Gospel of John or 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Pretty plain, pretty straightforward. When we talk about being a member of the body, you and I recognize that when we talk about the church, we can talk about the church universal, which is the body of the saved. And we are saved when we believe God, and trust Him, and obey Him, or baptize for the remission of our sins. But the Lord adds to the church daily those who are being saved. That's the universal body. We also see that as a member of this universal body, I have the responsibility to continue in the teaching, the doctrine of Christ. And it teaches us that there is also that we are to be a member of a local body of the church, a congregation. We're to be identified as a member of that body. We have responsibilities there in that local body. We find that this is true in the fact that the Apostle Paul, after he returned to Jerusalem from Damascus after his conversion and a year or so of teaching in the area of Damascus, it says, "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple." And I'd say, well, why did Paul try to join the disciples? He already was a disciple. He was a member of the universal church. He was a disciple in the universal sense, yes. So why did he try to join the disciples in Jerusalem? Was that just something he chose to do, or was that something that is part of the doctrine, the teaching of Christ? That's what I want to discuss with you this evening. Consider the church as Christ would have it. In Matthew chapter 28, in verses 18 through 20, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." As long as we abide in all of the teachings of Jesus Christ, Christ is with us. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded. Well, one of the things that the apostles taught us was concerning the organization of the church. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, it says, "When they appointed elders in every church." Titus chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set over the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every church, as I suggested to you." Is that how it reads? No. "As I commanded you." This is not optional. The church that Titus was working with, it was commanded that they have elders in every church and every city. Philippians 1 and verse 1. He addresses the church at Philippi. He says, "To the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons." Very quickly we begin to see that there are different recognitions there. Bishops and deacons are saints, but they have particular responsibilities. And all of the saints recognize those who are bishops and deacons. Another word for bishop is elder. In Hebrews 13 and verse 17 it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." So just as things go a whole lot better with us when we love God and keep His commandments, things go a whole lot better in a congregation when everybody is recognized as a member of that congregation and we work together. We are obedient to the Word of God, and therefore we don't have any need for correction by the elders or loving brothers and sisters in Christ. Clearly, we see that the doctrine of Christ has this organization to it of saints and elders and deacons. And that we, as a saint, as a general saint, as a general disciple of Christ, being baptized for the remission of our sins, we are, as Paul did, to join ourselves to a local congregation under the oversight of the elders of that congregation. If we choose not to do that, can we say that we are abiding in the doctrine of Christ? Can we say that we are in fellowship with God if we choose not to be identified as a member of a local congregation, when the doctrine of Christ clearly is teaching us to do that? There are responsibilities to being in the body. There's a responsibility in being in the universal body of Christ to be recognized as a member of a local body of Christ. We are to respect God's plan and God's purpose. Romans 12 and verses 3 through 6 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith." I talked about my mother-in-law. Part of her problem is that she knows the rules, but she always thinks she's an exception to the rule, whatever the rule is. And it causes a lot of problems for her in her life. But there are a lot of people like her. Say, well, I know what the rules are. I know what the Bible says, but there aren't any buts. You're not an exception to the rule. That's what that's saying. Everyone who is among you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. You're not the exception to the rule. Think soberly, as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. The measure of faith that he has delivered is the same for each and every one of us. It's the Word of God. And we are all to submit ourselves to the practice of it. For as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. As your physical body has many members, you've got arms and upper arms and forearms and hands and fingers and all of the different members of our body, but all of those members work together for the functioning of the body. And the body isn't functioning perfectly and as God designed it unless all of those members are working and functioning and contributing. That's the illustration that he uses here. And he says that's true of your local body of Christ, of a congregation. Every member is to function within it. Now, we have different functions, different abilities, but everyone is to be using their ability to the support and encouragement of one another and ultimately to the glory of God. We are to respect the authority of Christ. Ephesians 1 and verses 22 and 23, God put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be authority, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So if Christ is the head of the church and Christ's doctrine tells us that we are to be identified as a local member of a body of Christ, to submit to those who have the rule over us and so forth. And we say, well, I don't think we really have to do that. And there's other people that don't think we have to do that. Are you submitting to the head of the church, the one who saved you? We are to respect his authority. Colossians 2 and verse 10 says, "You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." It doesn't matter what you feel or I feel or what your friends and neighbors feel, if they feel the same way you do, if you disagree with the one who is the head, you're in a state of danger. You're not in fellowship with him. We are to respect other members. How do we do that? Well, we are to recognize the fact that we are members one of another. As Romans 12 and verse 5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We work together as members of this local body of the Lord's church here at Southside. I don't work with the body at East Side or West End or any other congregation or Laurel Canyon Church of Christ in Columbus, Ohio, or, you know, we could name, some congregation over in Zimbabwe someplace. I'm not a member of that congregation. I don't work with them. I'm not expected to. I'm not under the oversight of the eldership over there. We are to respect one another by being members joined to one another, recognizing that we have a responsibility to one another. We are to have care one for another. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verses 25 through 26, he says that there should be no schism in the body, but that all members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. It's wonderful to be identified as a member of a body and to have this responsibility and to suffer with those who are suffering and to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And when you are suffering, that you know that you're not going through it alone. That first and foremost, God is with you. And secondly, your brothers and sisters are praying for you constantly. What a wonderful blessing that is. We are to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4 in the first six verses read, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Are we keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace if we refuse to be identified as a member of a local body? Colossians 3, verse 12 through 15 says, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Peace, harmony, working together, identify as having responsibility to one another and lovingly fulfilling those responsibilities. We are to do our share. Ephesians 4 and verse 16 says, the whole body is joined and knit together by what? Every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. This is what causes growth of the body for the edifying, for the building up of itself in love. And again, he's drawing on that illustration of the human body. Our body, we enjoy our body and the function of our body when every part of the body is doing its work. When there's no weakness in any of it. When the brain says to the legs and the feet, jump, and the feet and the legs jump, that's great. And all of the other wonderful things that we do with our body. It's so wonderful that we can enjoy perfect functioning of our body. Why can't we see that that same principle is true when it comes to the local body of the church? Knowing that every member can depend on every member. Knowing that that love is genuine and that it unifies us and it brings us together. Brethren, this says this is what causes growth of the body. This is what causes the building up of the body of itself in love. When every member takes on this responsibility to every other member. As we saw, this local body consists of elders and deacons and saints. They are different, but they are equal. Different functions, but equally important. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 15 through 27 says, and again, he's using that illustration of the human body, but it's so easy to see that that's true of the physical body. It's also true of the spiritual body of the local church. He's writing this to the church, the local church at Corinth. And he says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather. Those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Why is it so easy for us to see that that's true of the physical body? But it's also true of the spiritual body of the local congregation. This is next to impossible to fulfill if you're reading that thinking of the universal body of Christ, the universal body of the saved. He's talking about responsibilities that we have to one another and functions that we have to each other. And that we recognize that we're different, but we're equal. Equally important and equally necessary to one another. We have different talents, but we have a unity in the purpose for using those talents. Ephesians 4 and verses 11 through 16, he says, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Different talents. The age of prophets has passed, but their prophecy, their telling forth of the mind of God is still with us, isn't it? In written form. And it's taught to us by those who have the gift of teaching. We still have evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. We still benefit from the work of the apostles by the word that the Holy Spirit inspired them to write for the equipping of the saints in that local body of the church. He goes on in verse 15, he says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Every part does its share. Why? Because it recognizes it has a responsibility to the body to fulfill its responsibility and to do all it can do to the glory of God and the edifying, the building up of the church. We are a member of the body. We are a member of the body, universal. But part of our responsibility as a member of the body universal is to be identified as a member of the body local, a local congregation. And just as Saul tried to join the disciples, each and every one of us, according to the doctrine, the teaching of Christ, are to join ourselves to the disciples in a local setting. We're to be to recognize the authority of Christ first and foremost, abide in the doctrine of Christ, to be under the oversight of an eldership. Deacons serve the body and the eldership. And as saints, we are members one of another, joyfully fulfilling our responsibilities to one another, and most importantly, to Christ. Be found abiding in the doctrine of Christ. And so we have all of these passages teaching us the importance of being identified as a member of a local body. And yet we run into people from time to time to say, "Well, I don't know if we have to be identified as a member of a local body." What passage of Scripture would you give me for that? Which of these passages would you tell me I've misrepresented tonight? Is what I have taught you the doctrine of Christ or not? If it's not the doctrine of Christ, you have a responsibility to tell me it's not the doctrine of Christ, that I've misrepresented it, and I will correct it. But if what I have taught you tonight is the doctrine of Christ and you are not practicing it, you are not identified in fellowship with Christ. And the sooner you recognize that and submit yourself to Christ first and foremost and his teaching, the happier you will be in fellowship with him. And anywhere we go, he will go with us. And one day, he will take us with him to heaven. If you're here tonight and you need to make yourself right with God, we'd encourage you to let it be known as we stand and sing this song.